If questions like these intrigue you, are we alone? Are UFOs real? Do aliens really exist? Well, just stay tuned because this show is going to be right up your alley. In a world where all right seems wrong and wrong seems right, where am I? Why does today feel like it's the past? Is it my past life memories? Where am I? Oh, I know. Right where I just started from. But haven't I done this before?
Deja vu.
Hello there, I'm the American Prince Charles III. I want to welcome you to another show of Deja Vu. And I know that I have been getting all sorts of emails and questions on, do UFOs really exist? Are we really alone in this universe? So I decided, you know what? I think it's time for us to do another show on UFOs. Because out of all the shows I'm doing, I tell you what, two are really sticking out. And, well, maybe three. One, I go over them. One is on my book, Daring Darren. It's a comic book for children. It's really picking up a lot of steam with a podcast with it. Number two, UFOs. UFOs has really been like the forefront center of podcast questions for me and people wanting me to just talk about them. And then number three, finances. So with that being said, I'm gonna tell you something. So a lot of people have these questions, right? Are we alone in this big universe? Or do UFOs really exist? Or what about aliens? Are those things real? Whether they're gray men or tall, skinny little, you know, things, alien beings that look similar to what we saw on the movie. What was that movie? The Close Encounter of the Third Kind, if you guys remember that. Or maybe like E.T., maybe something a little smaller with a big head, you know, springing out or whatever. But so I have to tell you something here. I have been approached by a lot of different people about this subject. And I'm going to just tell you, I feel, in my honest opinion, and for what I know and for what I've seen, they do exist. And I have to tell you something else. The United States Navy has put out air footage, shall I say, air footage of unexplained phenomena over the ocean, and which was recently released on all major networks, CNN, ABC's, NBC, MSNBC, you name it, even Fox. Can you imagine that? So with that being said, I feel there's a slow reveal going on. Why would the government release this sort of thing, this sort of information? And I feel that it's because that they want us to go ahead and slowly be introduced to the possibility of us not being alone here in this world, on this planet. Because often enough, I mean, if you really understand something, the universe is quite large. And if we're the only things, species in this universe of intelligence, then Lord help us all. Because I just don't feel like, I just feel it's an awful waste of space. You know, here we are, black, white, Latin, all the sorts of Hispanic, all sorts of races, Asians. We just can't even get along ourselves. So why in the world would we have, why would we be the only species or the only human life form in the whole galaxy, or maybe not even human life form, but just any sort of life form that's intelligent, right, or sentient? So I just feel it's a waste of space, if you ask me, if it's just us. But I'm not a god, so I can't say that and say this is the ultimate answer, it's a waste of space because Charles said it. No, I'm just saying that I feel it's so much more that could be out there with this infinite universe. So I had someone to reach out to me, MUFON, right? Mutual UFO Network. Imagine that. I guess I'm growing, y'all. I guess I'm getting big. But so I tell you, this organization, right, is dealing with encounters of UFOs and civilian objects, civilians that encounter these objects, and investigations and research and all these sort of things that we like to get involved in, we like to hear about, we like to read about, maybe with popcorn and a soda in our hand, you know, and watching it on television. It is basically, they are investigating a lot of reports from others. If UFOs really exist, where did you see it? What was your encounter? Where did you encounter this situation? Do you have any footage? Do you have any soundbite? Do you have anything that can let others know about your encounter with this UFO, unidentified flying object? Now, a lot of people think, well, when you say UFOs, you're talking about aircraft from a whole nother universe or outside of our galaxy or system. We have our solar system, but not necessarily. You know, UFO could be unidentified flying object. Well, let's look at that word, unidentified. Unidentified could be, well, I had just finished eating food and I was just mad at my girlfriend. I got the plate and I just threw it in the sky because she wanted to take the dog out for a jog and I wanted to take the motorcycle out for a ride. Okay. Now, the neighbor right next door happened to have a camera and looks up in the sky. Oh my God. And I'm taking some pictures of these beautiful birds, blah, 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 blah. And she snaps, snaps, snaps. She's taking all these pictures. And then when she gets back to her computer and she looks at her pictures, what does she see? She sees a flying saucer. Hello. Now that's just me making that story up. But I'm telling you, sometimes when we capture things in our photos, we cannot make out what it is, right? Or what they are. You know, sometimes it is really, truly unidentified to us. So when we say unidentified flying object, it doesn't necessarily mean it is of extraterrestrial. It doesn't necessarily mean it's of another planet or what have you. It could mean that it's just something that's unidentified. But when we often say UFO, come on. We are talking about, oh my God, this thing is from outer space. What is this? Oh my goodness, we're being invaded by something, you know, coming from another dimension or another planet. Well, let me tell you something. I feel that to simply say we are the only beings in this universe has been highly arrogant. That's just my opinion, okay? That's just my opinion, and please don't take it to the bank because they may not cash it. But I'm going to tell you, when you think you see something out there and it captures your imagination, what do you do? Do you tell someone about it? Do you keep it to yourself and hope that what you saw would just fade away in time, just like a distant memory of a lover years gone past? Or do you bunker down, write it down, keep notes, keep footage, and say to yourself, I'm going to put this out no matter what, and I don't care what that what is. I want the world to know that we're not alone. We are not alone. And that's when it gets a little dicey, because now you are putting yourself out. You're going to say, I saw this, I encountered this, this is what happened, and that's just dealing with a sighting, right? Now, we have to also talk about the problem. The problem is, what is the proof? Where's our proof? We could say we saw something, we heard something, we experienced something. But the first thing a lot of people are going to want to know is, well, where's the proof? Can you show me? Can you tell me where the proof lies? Do you have a picture? Do you have a scar? Because now we get into something even more of a different conversation. Not only are we having people say they have seen these UFOs or objects from another galaxy or another solar system, but they were abducted or touched or God knows whatever else. Use your imagination, people. So, you know, these are situations where we have to say to ourselves, okay, now we have more than an abduction. we have more than a sighting. We actually have tangible proof because this person has a scar, this person has a mark, or this person has something that fell off the craft or fell off something and they have it. What next? Well, that's how do we solve it? How do we solve the problem? Well, first and foremost, I feel a lot of people have to have an open mind. I have seen that a lot of people in my day and time, when they experience certain things in life, they just shut it down and block it out their head as if it never happened because they don't want to deal with it. In some cases, it's rightfully so. I mean, I can understand, right? But there are times where you have to say to yourself, I cannot deal with this alone. I do need help. And I think that's where MUFON comes in. You know, MUFON is an all-volunteer nonprofit 501c3 charitable corporation and the world's oldest and largest civilian UFO investigation research organization. Whew, that was a mouthful. But their goal is to be the inquisitive minds and refuge seeking answers to that most ancient question. Are we alone in the universe? Are we alone in the universe? ? The answer, very simple, is no. Whether you have UFO reports to share, armchair UFO investigator aspirations, or want to train and or just join their investigating team, MUFON is there for you. So why don't you please join them or seek to join them on their quest to discover the truth? So to do that, just make sure you go to MUFON.com, MUFON.com, and they are the go-to guys for that. If you think you have experienced something, have seen something, and you want to talk to their investigators about it, that's who you call to check on that. Now, I was going to say, who you going to call? And everybody's going to yell, Ghostbusters, right? All right. But you're going to call MUFON, MUFON, MUFON. And they were established, I think, in 1969, if I make no mistake. So what do? When you have an open mind and you see something that you really can't explain, huh? What do? Well, I think the first thing you have to do is open your eyes in order to have that open mind. You got to open your eyes and see what it is. Don't be afraid. You know, I'm going to do another show on the paranormal because I've been getting a lot of requests on that one as well. The paranormal and ghosts and things like that. So I want you guys to stay tuned because that's going to be a good one. And haven't I done it before, though? I can't remember if I had
deja vu.
I think I have done paranormal before. Anyway, we're going to do it again. And so I want to say to you guys, you have to have an open mind, number one. Number two, you have to open your eyes. And number three, you have to embrace the technology. What you say, what do you mean embrace the technology? Let me tell you something. You guys absolutely believe that we were on a horse and buggy a few years ago, and now we're driving up and down highway doing 90 miles an hour plus in a machine where you could just press your right foot to get it to go to those speeds. Are you kidding me? It's not just a, we have scientists that did this and engineers. Okay, but where did they get the engineering from? Where did they get the knowledge from? Well, they got it from where? I believe, again, don't take this to the bank because they may not cash that check, but I believe that it all came from something in the desert that happened a long, long time ago. Area 51. Rings a bell to anybody?
What you say?
Maybe the crash in the Mexico desert, right? Right? You know? So, you know, I want everybody to understand sometimes when we get things in our hands and it's reverse engineered, it brings forth new fruit, right? And that fruit can be for us to enjoy or for us to destroy. We don't want to destroy, we want to enjoy, right? But sometimes this technology can fall in the hands of the wrong people that want to use it for the wrong reasons. Maybe good intentions, but for the wrong reasons. So we want to use this technology to enjoy and not to destroy, right? Destroy Real Robinson, right? You know, for those of you guys that's Lost in Space, if you don't know what the hell is he talking about, no, that's Lost in Space if you haven't seen it. Oh, by the way, that was a good show. Anyway, you guys need to go watch the brand new version of Lost in Space. I'm putting a plug in for them, a shameless plug for them. It's great. You guys will love it. But anyway, another thing is, you know, we have to, last but not least, we have to not be afraid of it. So the first thing is open our minds. That's number one. Into how do we solve the problem, right? Open our minds. Number two, we have to open our eyes. Number three, we have to embrace the technology. And number four, we don't need to be afraid of the technology. I think a lot of things that stop people from doing things will be fear. Fear is a good, it could be a good suppressor or a good motivator. It just depends on how you're using the word fear, baby. It just depends on how fear is getting in your life. You could be fearful to not cross that train track because you see the train is coming. You say, oh my God, I ain't gonna cross that track. But let me tell you something. If you put a German Shepherd behind you and he's coming, you may just go ahead and get on across that track as fast as you can and beat the train, because fear was a good motivator for you. That dog barking, right? So coming toward you. So we have to look at how can fear motivate us instead of shutting us down. A lot of people are afraid to take chances because of fear. Don't let fear be the oppressor or the suppressor. Let it be the motivator. Use it in a more positive meaning, in a positive tone. I thought I talked about that too.
Deja vu.
Well, I'm talking about it now. And we will have another show on that. How about that? Use fear as a motivator. Use fear as a motivator. So, when we talk about technology and open our minds, right, to the technology we're experiencing, do you really believe that this technology is something man has discovered and created on his own out of, you know, sticks and stones and sand and glass and stuff like that? I believe it is technology that has been introduced from other civilizations, and maybe even some technology that's been left here from prior civilizations. So are you saying, Charles, we're in a petri dish? Well, just maybe. We just may be in some sort of experimental petri dish. I want you guys to open your minds, right? Remember we said number two, you got to open your eyes. That's number one, open your minds. Number two, you got to open your eyes. What do you see in front of you? When you turn in your car, you get in your car and you turn on that ignition, what do you see? Well, I see I better have a full tank of gas. That's the first thing I see. Well, okay. Well, what else do you see? I see I see that the dashboard lights up with all these fancy lights and stuff. Well, that's true. Because that's gonna be your first hint. Technology. Your car is looking at the vehicle stability control, the VSC. It's looking at the analog brake system, the ABS. It's looking at how much oil that is going to be down there in the crankcase, in the oil case, to make sure your engine is oil properly. And it's measuring those oil measurements hundreds of times a second, along with temperature, to make sure your engine is operating at its most efficient peak. So you're also looking at the voltage system. You're looking at the you actually looking at all this that's coming up to you as far as lights and digital display. But do you understand those are sensors underneath that engine taking those readings constantly? And the only thing we're thinking about is pumping gas in a tank, pressing that gas and going, right? So, but that computer, that's the key word, the computer on board your car, the computer is taking all the hard work and measurements and the guesswork out of it for you, and it is doing it on its own, and it's reporting back to you in real time on your dashboard. Wow, that was a mouthful, but I hope you understand. Now, we didn't get all that from a horse pulling a buggy, y'all. Come on, work with me now. We didn't get all that from a horse pulling buggy. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Well, we have brilliant minds, Charles. They are just brilliant, I tell you. They're all over the place. You know, we have brilliant minds in all the colleges and the universities and the private schools. Well, that's true. That's true. But I believe that there are also brilliant minds outside of this universe. Outside of this solar system we're living in. I believe there something is really brilliant and it landed here, and I think we reverse engineered a lot of it. And from that, we got the stealth bomber. We got the F-18 aircraft flight, a fighter jet. We got, you know, even cruise line ships. We got a lot of things, guys. Cell phones. Do you understand the technology that goes in cell phones? Do you understand that before the space shuttle can even launch, right? I saw an article a few days ago. It said that the space shuttle that launched years ago in the early, late 80s were the technology that went into launching that space shuttle was less than the technology we have walking around in our cell phones. Can you just put that in perspective? And then it also said that the Cadillac, these fancy cars, Lexus, Mercedes, Jaguars, Infinities, BMWs, Volvos, you name it, right? These fancy cars out here, all these cars are running off of computer-driven technology that is way more advanced than that of the space shuttle.
What you said?
Just in our cars, guys. So if you're driving a Toyota or a Nissan, you know, if you're driving a Volkswagen, if you're driving whatever it is you're driving, and nowadays even motorcycles, because the motorcycles, my motorcycle has an analog braking system on ABS. One of them, the other motorcycle does not have that. It had, it's just a regular brake system. You squeeze the handle, you squeeze the brake lever, and there it stops. Depending on how hard you squeeze it, will lock the tire up and make you slide or not. So, but with the analog brake system, you squeeze that motorcycle brake lever and it will not lock. It won't, that tire will not lock up. And if it does try to lock, it'll unlock. So it's using the ABS, the analog braking system, to stop the bike. Now, isn't that cool?
But we had analog brakes on our horses. Yeah, right.
What you gonna do, put a carrot in front of his face and say, "Whoa, boy, that's your analog brakes right there," right? So I believe we have to embrace this technology we have and understand where it's coming from. We have to understand that the PS5, the PS4, the PS3, the PS2, the PS1, the Xbox systems, the Atari system that started it all, right, with Nintendo, the Sega systems, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about that are gamers out there. Come on. You put your comments in the sections below. You know what I'm talking about. Where are my gamers at? These systems are full of technology that we just didn't have with horse and buggy. I'm sorry. Right? And I would love to know what you guys feel and think below. Make sure you write your comments in the sections below when you can, and come in or share them, subscribe, and you can put your own two cents in it. But, you know, I'm going to just tell you, your opinions are wonderful and outstanding. I love to hear them, but the only one that really matters is mine. But I love to read them anyway. And, you know, if you guys want to shoot me an email, make sure you do that at mycastlelifenow@gmail.com. mycastlelifenow@gmail.com. I want you guys to understand that in order for UFOs to continue to reveal themselves and these things alike to happen, where it's becoming more open, we have to be willing to have an open arm and open mind, open eyes, and we have to be willing to embrace the technology and not be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of the technology and afraid of what we may see, because perhaps it's the next evolution for us to take as mankind. And I feel that if we want to accomplish things that are farther away from this planet, we're going to have to, you know, embrace the technology that would get us farther away from the planet. You know, when you think about light speed, when we go life speed, warp one, you know, for those of you guys who are Star Trek fans, warp one is technically one time the speed of light. Warp two times the speed of light. Warp three times the speed of light. So you get it, right? When when the starship is doing warp 1 and warp 2, he's going one or two times faster than the speed of light. And do you understand, at that speed, still to get to the nearest Alpha Centauri or other star cluster, thousands of years. So we'll have to go faster than that or find another alternative of space travel. And now we get into something a little bit more difficult and a little bit more fun to talk about for a lot of people, and that's time travel and or space continuum travel. If you are into science, you know where I'm going with that. Basically, if you get a sheet of paper, you can do this, right? Or you can do it with your hands. Open both of your palm of your hands. You can look at, pretend if you want, don't draw a circle in your palm unless you really want to, but pretend that your hand is one side of the universe. The left hand is one side of the universe. The right hand is the other side of the universe. But you need to get to either side really quick. So what you do, you put your hands in a prayer position, right? Now you just crossed over. You just joined those two hands together. And if you started out on the left hand, just simply cross on over to the right hand, and then you break loose your hands again. Now they're back in the open position. But you just crossed over time and space within a little short distance, going through a little wormhole. Or let's do another way. Everybody says, well, that's a little confusing. What do you say, dude? Let's get a sheet of paper. On the left side of the paper, you're going to draw a circle. Well, at the top, let's say at the top of the paper, draw a circle. At the bottom of the paper, draw a circle. Right? Then get the top of the paper and fold it down to the bottom of the paper. Those two holes are now joined, right? And release the paper. The paper should go back up to the top. The hole should go back up to the top. And now you just crossed over a long distance of space by just combining the two circles. And the area in which the circles are combined, we're looking at a wormhole. And so you're not really traveling from that distance to that distance, but you're just joining it by the bending of time. And this is where we are going. A lot of scientists are talking about this this technology, that once we can embrace it, once it's introduced a little bit more to the human population, to us, you know, they feel that it's going to be introduced. And will I see it? I don't know how fast this stuff will be out. But let's be real, cars are driving themselves now. The new Cadillac is driving themselves. The Audis, the Lexus are stopping and going off by themselves. You know, some of the Fords and the Chevys and the you name it. Everybody's driving. The cars are driving themselves, and they're beginning to do that. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with embracing technology and trusting the technology. Now, it leaves us with the last thing I had talked about, and that is not to be afraid of the technology. We have to find a way to embrace it and to work alongside with it. And it sort of reminds me of AI, right? You know, Will Smith's movie. So we have to learn to work with the technology, not work against it. And I feel the Pentagon released the tic-tac video, as they call it, of where we had a lot of the UFOs being recorded speeding across the ocean, recorded by Navy pilots, and they had to release this footage because it was real, it was caught, and the pilots demanded them to release it as well. And I think that the release of these videos, it really opened a lot of people's eyes as to, are we really alone? What kind of technology is that that's having that craft hover over the ocean at speeds beyond what we can do, and looks like it's even flying against the wind at certain points in a video? How we don't even have that technology? Well, you may be right, we don't have the technology, but something somewhere else does. So I go back to the hook of the question, and the question was, if this intrigue you, such as, are we alone? Do UFOs exist? Do aliens really exist? I feel the answer is a resounding yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I hope that you tune in to my show right here, Deja Vu, and we will talk about more of things that perhaps we have already talked about. I'm not quite sure.
Deja vu.
But we'll talk about it again, and maybe some experiences that we have had or think we've had before, but not quite sure. I just want to make sure you guys are going to enjoy the show. Sit back, relax. Tell me about perhaps some experiences you've had, and I'll put it on the show. You can leave the comments below in the comment section, or shoot me a message again at mycastlelifenow@gmail.com. I'm the American Prince Charles III. I want to thank you for listening to Deja Vu today. Take care, God bless, and be safe.
Somebody tell me this life that I'm living is real. Déjà vu.